we are so excited because we do have a lot of things to talk about. But before we talk about something that's really major, I'm just going to go quickly through the major headlines for today. So X updates policies. Former approval for adult content sparks a lot of controversy. Dubai Mall set for a massive $400 million expansion to introduce 240 luxury stores and restaurants. As well, the Hadid sisters donate $1 million to aid Palestinians in Gaza, and Abu Dhabi police squash rumors of 50% discount off the fines. Well, good morning, Waleed. How are you?
I'm good, very well. Have my coffee. Nice morning.
Of course, Can't complain. Guys, you can never see Waleed here without his coffee.
That's true.
You can just like, he needs to have the coffee. And as well, you've influenced Lubna with the coffee instead of like the
I'm on a mission to eliminate instant coffee from your studio, so I'm going at you one by one. Drink good coffee.
Well,
life's
that
too
is,
short.
That must be very interesting. So I want to tell you something. I am going to go to an AI event, and it's under the name of The Future is Here. And I want your thoughts about that.
Oh, well, its future is definitely here. I mean, AI definitely ranks top among any topic around business, around technology, around startups, around investment. We've seen massive amount of funds go into that particular space. We've seen the world's largest companies invest heavily in that space. And very interestingly, recently I've seen NVIDIA creep up. And NVIDIA, for those who don't know, and it's not necessarily a household name, but it almost has a monopoly on those chips that are used for AI, the very high processing power chips that they almost have an exclusivity over. Their market value today is equivalent to that of Apple. And, you know, with a 10% increase in price in the next month or so, could be the most valuable company in the world, overtaking Microsoft. And that just tells you how much, how important that space is and how much attention is being paid on it. And at the same time, how everybody's strategy around that space has become about, okay, what's your AI strategy? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to compete in this space? And most recently, Intel, who almost everybody's forgotten about by now, wants to take part in this, but does not want to be left out and wants to compete directly with NVIDIA. So they started a bit of a verbal spat with NVIDIA, you know, challenging them on their vision for the future. So a lot to talk about in AI for sure.
I mean, I'm really excited to actually go to the event, which is under like the name of like The Future is Here, and see like what are people actually looking forward for the future coming from AI, you know what I mean? Because I think I've mentioned this in Rich Gnosis. I fear AI.
Yeah, and most people have no complete understanding of what it's going to end up doing. And I saw a recent quote that's, and I found very, very funny. Is that when people first thought of AI, they thought of something that's going to help them clean the dishes and fix the house to give them more time to be creative and write and do music. And the AI they got was the one that took over the creative and the writing and the music.
Everything.
So that you have time to do the dishes and clean the house, which is, you know.
I like that. I like the fact that you said, like, you know, fine. You thought that the AI was going to do your...
The stuff you don't like to do, the uncreative stuff, the uninteresting stuff for you. The truth is the major revolution in that space came in areas of creativity, of art, of music, of language, of content, of you name it. And that scares a lot of people for sure. Obviously, that's the front end of AI that most people are exposed to right now, what we consider the consumer sector. But AI is like seeping into pretty much all walks of your life. On the back end, doing some of the jobs that people used to do, or maybe improving some of the jobs that people used to do in the back end. But, you know, a lot of people are predicting, are futurists predicting how that's going to go. One thing I think I can predict for sure is that it's going to accelerate. It's not going to slow down.
Of course, it's not going to... I mean, right now, like, for example, with our job, journalism, AI can write an article.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And it's a very good article. Like, you can... literally, it's almost like as if a human has written it.
Correct.
And if maybe we can work together. Maybe I should be like, hi, I want to work together.
So here's the thing about AI, though, about writing an article. It needs sources, right? And it needs, there always goes back to somebody actually doing something where the AI goes and picks it up and then re-represents it in some way. And that's part of a lot of where the debate on AI is. It didn't come up with this. It didn't go around collecting information directly on what's happening in the world and then creating a report around it. It's amalgamated reports
true,
from other people and created a single sort of consolidation of them with good language, with good structure, etc. But it didn't have any original thoughts emanating in that in that article. And you know, that's a lot of where the debate is. Does it have the right to go take your work and re-represent it?
Actually, remind me at towards when the show is done. I think I fear AI because there's a movie that I've watched. And the
Which
movie,
one? There's a lot of them.
There is, I think the movie is called I Am Mother.
Ah, okay. I haven't seen that one.
And she is a robot that, you know, like, I don't know, like they took over like kind of like a city, you know, a city. And oh my God, that ever since that happened. And she actually felt for the kid that she raised. And the kid was human, but she was a robot. Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
That's a different story, but it's fine, you guys. It's fine. I mean, honestly, at this point, all that I can think of is how can I, you know, maybe...
Embrace it, adopt it, understand it, because I think it's just here to stay.
I mean, at this point, as I can say is that I still fear AI. I will never not fear AI, and I will never not, you know, I don't know. It's just like something that I really... really fear, but it's fine. Now let's talk. Let's go jump to our stories, you guys. So X, of course, updates policies. Formal approval for adult content sparked a lot of controversy. So X updated its policies, officially permitting users to post adult and graphic content on the platform, which is very new. Users are now allowed to share consensually produced content, of course, like, you know, adult content, provided and it's clearly labeled as such. The updated rules, of course, encompass AI-generated videos and images.
A lot of controversy there. I mean, let's unpack that one a little bit. Number one, it's about what X really wants to be, and a lot of people are still confused about what that is. It does fly the flag of non-censorship and freedom of expression and speech and so on, and you can't possibly fit that in there, but you know, a lot of people are pushing back and saying, number one, consent is impossible almost to prove. Mm-hmm. Right. So how can you prove all that, and how much are you going to spend establishing consent, that consent exists in the shared content that's coming through? And number two, the extreme damage that deep fakes and the like can have on people, on lives, and so on. I think it's a big debate. I think they might have moved too quickly on this one. And for me, it seems like I don't know what they're trying to do in that. Are they trying to compete with, you know, other platforms like OnlyFans, for example, which had a lot of success purely pushing explicit content? Or are they trying to be, you know, much more of a financial solution, which was the original idea that they had in place, and integrating financial solutions into the platform rather than delving into this cesspool, I would say, of content. So I think that's definitely going to get a lot of pushback, and it's just one more thing, I guess, for Elon Musk to deal with.
Of course.
I'm going to merge the two topics we've been talking about, AI and X. And just recently, there was a controversy around Elon Musk actually reallocating resources and AI chips that were supposed to go to Tesla for developing the self-driving technology that they have
into XAI, which is a private non-listed company with different shareholders. So, you know, that question over conflict of interest, over what exactly, you know, who are you working for at the end of the day? These are not exactly the same companies. They don't have the same shareholders. So there's an inherent potential conflict of interest from making decisions of that nature. Again, it's always going to make the headlines pretty much every day of the week, but quite a lot on their plate right now.
I agree. But I think, honestly, like with, because they're trying to compete with, like, as you said, like OnlyFans and other, like, you know, like websites that actually do post adult content, I think that they will be losing in terms of like business. Because, like, if it was for me, I would delete the app.
Think of advertisers, right? Some advertisers would hold back against using a platform that has that may get taken over by explicit content. I don't know what's going to happen on that front, but I'm pretty sure that some advertisers will hold back right
100%.
Right now. So let's see. I think it's still an extremely popular platform, but I'm not for this decision personally. I don't think it does it any favors.
Well, of course, you know, like this is a very, I would say, kind of like a
controversial topic.
Very controversial topic that I would definitely not, I would delete the app for me. But it's fine, let's jump to our next story. So Dubai Mall set for massive $400 million expansion to introduce 240 luxury stores and restaurants, which is very exciting. So the Dubai Mall, already a titan in retail and a prime attraction for tourists, is of course poised to enhance its offerings. Amar Properties, the mall's owner, has unveiled the ambitious $400 million, which is 1.5 billion dirhams, which is it's a big amount of money, expansion plan, which will include and introduce an impressive 240 new luxury shops and dining venues.
Well, I would say it has to be big to have an impact on the scale of Dubai Mall. You're talking about certainly one of the world's largest, most popular sort of retail destinations. So if you're gonna have, if you're gonna upgrade that, it's gonna have to be a very, very big scale, because you're starting off at a very high level. Certainly one of Dubai's top attractions, continues always to be one of Dubai's top attractions, so no surprises there. This just keeps, you know, the ball rolling on, you know, creating this destination, this hub, this commercial, retail, hospitality destination that is downtown Dubai, and that is the Dubai Mall. So no big surprises there, I would say.
I mean, yeah, but like, for, like, where are they going to find the place?
The
know
space?
What I mean? And like the place, the space where they are going to be doing the expansion. I mean, yeah, we do understand that there is the expansion that's happening, and Dubai Mall is the most visited, you know, mall in Dubai. It's one of the biggest malls, you know what I mean? And you go there and you already get lost.
Yep.
So, I mean, are they doing this like
more space to get lost?
I mean, guess. Of course, it's more space to get lost, definitely. But like, are they doing that for the sole reason of like, hey, they want more business and more shops to open?
So you look at the most popular periods in in footfall for Dubai Mall, and it's crowded, right? Which tells you that the demand is there for more space. In the mall, that if it grows, people will come and it will accommodate more people, and the demand is there. And I think that guides them a lot in that process. And it's my understanding that it's space that's repurposed for that particular purpose and exists. So but let's wait and see. I'm sure the end result will be even more impressive than what we have today. Whether or not I will go is another question.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, whether or not I will go as well. It's by the way, it's for sure a question, because like, I have like this idea that, you know, like right now everyone is going towards online shopping because they do not want to go to big malls. They do not want to get lost because they waste time heading from like one shop to another. That already like takes like 10-15 minutes of walking. And So are they doing this because they want more shoppers and more shopping?
Well, the footfall is there. You're right about the e-commerce trends. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to go away. But it is going to stabilize at the end of the day, where a portion of the goods you buy are going to be online and a portion of the goods you buy are going to be at location. And I think we're starting to get to that stability point. So you do understand a shop, what the sales happen over there. And they certainly have better data than most on what's popular. They have access and they understand all the sales behavior of all the retailers that are in the mall. And remember, it's not just about shopping. The spend, I believe, in the mall is today probably equal between the actual buying of merchandise and the spend on lifestyle and services, right? So it is the combination of that. You don't get that sitting at home, that combination of lifestyle offerings, of F&B, of hospitality, of entertainment, and so on, with the experience of shopping. And that's, I think, the formula there. It's not about getting the item itself. It's about the experience combined.
That is true. I think... they recognize that, the economy in the UAE and specifically Dubai keeps on increasing and getting better and better. And a lot of tourists are even...
The
more
numbers keep
are
rising.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The numbers keep on rising and you see more tourists coming and wanting to visit Dubai. The other day we talked about it on the show, morning show, that Dubai is actually one of the most required destinations for tourism this summer. So of course, they're going to do that, because.
And what are you going to do in summer? You're not going to be outdoors, right?
Exactly.
Summer, winter, that whole neighborhood, the downtown Dubai with all its attractions, with the highest tower in the world, etc., is a must visit. You cannot be a tourist in Dubai, a visitor to Dubai, without sampling that.
True.
Right, and even more so during the summer, during the summer period. So I guess it is very highly guided by those numbers, by the growth in the visitors, by the fact that it is probably the number one attraction in Dubai today for visitors. So I think they're not going to have too much trouble filling up the retail space with brands and with footfall, with
shoppers. They're just supporting the economy. As the economy grows, they are growing as well, which honestly is amazing at this point. So guys, for our next story, Hadid sisters donate $1 million to aid Palestinians in Gaza, Palestine. Of course, the widely known models Bella and Gigi Hadid donated $1 million to Palestinian relief efforts. And as well, the donation happened, of course, and people are very excited about it. And the funds will be divided among charities supporting children and families affected by the Gaza war, Heal to Heal Palestine, of course. And as well, it's donated as well to the World Central Kitchen and the United Nations Relief and Work Agency. It comes after the sisters voiced their support for Palestinians, with Bella Hadid calling out the lack of international empathy and Gigi expressing solidarity with those under occupation. Both emphasized their desire for peace. Now, I have a thing here. Like Bella got called off Dior, her contract with Dior, and they replaced her with another Israeli model. And with the boycotts happening, Gigi did not really boycott because they've got her caught, with Starbucks.
I think all power to them. Small missteps like that, I don't think change the message. And even beyond the $1 million, which is very much needed by the civilians being constantly bombarded in Gaza, what is needed is awareness. It is that general push for awareness that it is no longer acceptable to be silent about the topic. They have massive followers, and it is their duty. Of course, they can back it up with money, but I believe that it is well within their duty to continue consistently highlighting this. The story isn't going away. It's just getting worse and worse and worse for the poor people in Gaza.
Gaza for the children that, you know, we all see the images, and it's just mind-boggling that not more celebrities, and in particular celebrities because their voices are widely distributed. When they say something, more people hear it, how they can stay silent. And I'm for that campaign that actually calls out people for being silent, especially those that have a voice. And you know, all power to them. They are Palestinian. They've held up the Palestinian cause for a long time, and that cause comes with a cost.
True.
Right, and they are and should be willing to bear that that cost.
True. We've seen a lot of celebrities getting blocked, just for the sole reason of them not actually speaking up. The other day I was at an event.
And what else? What use is their voice if something as fundamentally human as this cause they're not willing to speak
100%,
about?
100%. The other day I was at an event and I saw this influencer. He came up to me. He's like, "I lost 1,000 followers." I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "Because people blocked me." I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "Yeah, because I didn't speak about Palestine." I'm like,
"Well, then speak about Palestine."
Like,
yeah, I mean, if you have any human emotions to speak of, then speak of that.
I mean, at this point, I was telling Lubna this the other day that this generation is they know what they should stand for and what's right and what's not, and they are not going to be taking any other thing, and nothing is going to be acceptable or forgiven. I mean, companies are getting blocked out.
Absolutely.
Brands are getting blocked as well, like boycotted and so on. And celebrities are getting blocked, you know, going through the block out party that happened all over social media from like the past few months. As well, you know, like even influencers are getting blocked.
Absolutely. And keep generating that critical mass of pressure on everybody.
True, 100%.
It has to continue, you know, and people are better than it than me in terms of, you know, putting the voice out there, but it's everybody's job, I think. And if as little as blocking somebody or unfollowing somebody will have that sort of impact, then by all means.
It's only because they say that, you know, like influencers, apparently they get revenue from the followers.
Absolutely. Cost them money.
True.
You just cost them money.
Exactly. So, like, if you,
they're worried about the brand that they're representing, you know, not representing them anymore, well, they lost something even more important. People's respect, people's following, and people sitting back and listening to what you have to say. You know, no longer 100%. Interested in what you have to say if the most basic, fundamental human requirement you're not able to say.
100%. You know, people are like, you know what, why would I allow this person that did not speak of Palestine and is actually standing in the wrong direction, which is with Israel, why would I give them the chance to make money out of me?
Why would I listen to them on anything else? If that's their you know, body of beliefs, if their morality is in that camp,
then
why on earth would I follow them?
Just block, you guys. So, for our next story, Abu Dhabi police squash rumors of 50% traffic fine. Of course, now the discount, the Abu Dhabi police ADP confirms online speculation regarding a 50% traffic fine reduction is false. Existing structure remains 35% discount for fines paid within 60 days, excluding serious violations, and 25% discount within 1 year. Now, the existing traffic fine structure in Abu Dhabi remains unchanged. Motorists who settle their fines within 60 days of the violation, of course, will have the chance, as mentioned, to, you know, fix their fines. Which, by the way, it's like, you know, we do see like a lot of like those, I'd say, scams. And of course, fines can be as well settled in an interest fee over 1 year period through their service center's website or mobile app. Additionally, of course, so there are a lot of options that people can have if they have a lot of fines instead of just like,
well, for many it's a budget, right?
It's
a significant budget. So this has direct implications on spending, but certainly I think we've consistently seen, you know, sort of discounts being introduced by the Dubai traffic authority, by Abu Dhabi police, etc., to encourage the settlement, because there seems to be always a large outstanding amount over there that has blocked people in a lot of cases from being able to settle their outstanding. So, you know, more discounts the better. Unfortunate, the 50 isn't there, but we'll wait and see.
I mean, you never know. You can never know what happens. But like, you know, like even like, why would they spread rumors? You know what I mean? It's like rumors are everywhere. Everywhere. We've even reported a lot of stories of, you know, let me say, people who lied and even like created like fake profiles and fake accounts and fake groups, and it's everywhere.
Scams are everywhere, right? And scams will always go after a pain point. Mm-hmm. So if traffic finds for you are a pain point, the scam will go after, you know, a message of that nature. You know, pay on this platform your fines at a 50% discount, and you know, there you go. You just lost that that money. So diligence, very important. I think the word has spread. People are more alert, are more aware. True. They're not sharing, you know, their PIN numbers and bank information and credit card details to untrustworthy sort of sources. But on the other hand, they're getting better at it, right? True. It's looking more and more official. It has all the right logos. It has some URLs that look
really
legitimate.
Real.
And you know, sometimes we're just very busy and don't catch that.
True. Do you think scammers are good business people?
Are they good business people? They're good at making money, that's for sure. I think business is a set of things, one of which is your sort of moral standards, what you represent and what you're trying to achieve. And in from that perspective, it is not a business. Right? It is very short-termist in nature, and it is exploitative in nature, and you know, it misses obviously on a lot of fronts, but a lot of business strategy goes into it, that's for sure. Sometimes very creatively, so a lot of technology goes into it. Obviously, you're talking about hackers and people who know how to get your personal information and then retarget you, or tap into sort of official providers of services, government services, etc., get data from there and retarget you pretending to be them. So it definitely requires a lot of skill.
It does,
But yeah, not much sympathy or endorsement, I would say, from
I mean, honestly, but like, you know, they could have maybe instead of wasting their energy on something that they're going to get caught on towards the end, could have just like had their own business.
If they get caught. Unfortunately, they don't all get caught.
Yeah, well, I hope they do.
For some, it's worth the risk. For some, you know, if you drop your standards that much, it is a quick buck to be made with a skill that you have. So you'll always have them.
I agree. Well, thank you so much, Waleed, for joining me today.
My pleasure.
And this brings us to the end of our show. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Same time. Goodbye.